In this episode of The Focus Coach, we'll talk about being defensive, that pesky little companion that gets the best of us sometimes. In the podcast, I'll unpack why it's here, some manifestations of it, and what you can do to deal with it. So stick around and let's get started. Welcome to The Focus Coach, episode 20 on being defensive. I'm your host, Jeff Sari, and my wife used to say that I'd be a very good lawyer because in our early days of dating and being married, I put up a good defense in arguments. So she'd bring something to me and I would push it back or not take it in. And I'm glad to say that I've learned over these years how to become less defensive. And in this podcast, I want to talk about how I think about defensiveness, some manifestations of it, and then what you can do to deal with it. I'm sorry to say that it's never going away, but we can turn it down. I call it the pesky little companion because it's just there, right? We all know it gets the best of all of us sometimes. We all know what it's like to feel defensive and what outcomes that has in your life. So what are some reasons for defensiveness? I've thought of three. One of them is we grew up in school settings and in society that you need to be right a lot, right? So you get graded on tests and papers. You have to come out with the right answer. And if you don't, you're penalized. And maybe you had a great teacher that helped you along and was compassionate and all these things. But by and large, we get penalized for having the wrong answer. So we have learned that we need to be right. And so I have a colleague that says, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? Well, we trade our happiness for being right sometimes, and we become defensive because we have to be right. Second one is our biology. So we evolved from a place of survival. You know, in the past, our ancestors had to survive. They had to go hunt. They were on the front edge of territories and protecting their tribe and raising kids and food scarcity, moving around, these kind of things. So we have this wiring in us to perceive a threat and shut it down. We may call that the fight, flight, or freeze syndrome, but it is wired in us to react and to either fight or get away from something. The third reason is we all have unresolved traumas. None of us get out of childhood unscathed. You know, I think our parents tried to do the best they could, but they weren't enlightened to the nth degree. And so we suffered as children at the hands of caregivers, you know, not getting our needs met, feeling bad, right? Feeling like we have been abandoned. And so, you know, if you had an alcoholic parent and they had two personalities, you might have gotten the wrath of anger or made to feel like you're wrong or you made them mad. And so you grew into adulthood carrying this burden. So if you were abandoned by a parent, for instance, you might attract a mate that you become very needy for. And when they give you feedback, or they're not as present as you'd like them to, you could have a reaction. Or you might push people away because they're not going to stay anyway. Because you have that experience of being abandoned, you push them away by picking fights, by being critical, or you beat yourself up a lot, you know, self-criticism. And I've done a podcast on self-criticism and being triggered. Go back and check that one out. So these are a few ways that I see why defensiveness is there. You know, our biology, it's just hardwired in us. We grew up in schools where you had to be Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And then the burden we carry, our psychology, our psychodynamics that we all still deal with in adulthood. And so defensiveness comes to us not in a vacuum, but in relationship to other people, especially when someone brings something up that is less desirable about you. They give you feedback, how you're impacting them personally or adversely. I'll give you an example. Again, my wife is wonderful with giving me feedback. And as we're going to see at the end, when I tell you how to get out of defensiveness to some degree, You need to actively solicit feedback. You need to be open to it. And it's not the enemy. So we'll get into that. So my wife recently brought me some feedback that I undermine her parenting sometimes. Inadvertently, of course, you know, I don't wake up going, ha 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 ha, I can't wait to undermine her parenting. So she brought this to me because she was talking to our daughter, and I said something to the contrary. And then, you know, our daughter left and she said, can I give you some feedback? And I said, sure, what's up? She goes, you know, sometimes you don't have my back. You say the contrary thing or you try to change the subject. And she's like, what's that about? And since I have gotten the taste of feedback and not being defensive, I was really able to sit with it, take it in and reflect on it and say, you know, sometimes I see there's a conflict. We're headed for a conflict. And sometimes I just want to change the subject because it's uncomfortable. And I grew up like that. I grew up with conflict, and that wasn't fun for me. And I grew up as a child of divorce. And so I want to try to keep the peace sometimes by giving our daughter the best experience she can have because I didn't have that. So as you can see, my psychodynamics are alive and well. And I'm 48 years old, just turned 48 on Saturday, May 2nd. And my junk trunk is still alive. I call our psychodynamics our junk trunk, those unresolved things that get activated in certain situations, that get triggered up. And if you don't get feedback from someone, you may not see it yourself. It's called a blind spot. We all have them. And a lot of our blind spots are related to our unresolved issues from our past conditioning. So we can take things personally. And when we hear the phrase taking something personally, I think of that as we're trying to defend against something. We're trying to defend against a vulnerability. So on the other side of defensiveness is vulnerability. Who would have to defend if there wasn't something to defend against? And so what is that thing you're defending against? So if I got some feedback and I poo-pooed it or, you know, pushed it away, then why am I doing that? Well, deep down, a lot of us struggle with not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy, not feeling lovable, feeling bad to some degree. This little pesky voice inside of us, stemming from, like I said, our past conditioning, gets triggered up. And this companion does not want to see the light of day. It wants to keep in the dark. And so we become defensive to try to push it away so we don't have to look at it. But that's not the only way it can go down. So we'll show you that at the end of the podcast. I do want to talk about now the 7 ways that I've seen defensiveness. And I have to thank my daughter. She helped me think this through yesterday. And she came up with some great examples. And I'm going to get her on a podcast to talk about what defensiveness looks like from an 11-year-old's perspective. And we'll do that in Daddy-Daughter Life Chats, installment number 3, very soon. So we got 7 ways. But first, I want to just talk about the physical manifestations of defensiveness, right? When we get triggered, we feel it in our body too. Not only do we feel uncomfortable, anxious, frustrated when someone brings us feedback that we don't want to hear, we feel it in our body. So, you know, we get tense, we get red in the face, we get a sour stomach, you know, tight shoulders, shaking hands. So there are cues for us to see that we're triggered and that we are becoming defensive, right? So you've got the feeling of defensiveness and you've got the physical manifestations of defensiveness, of being triggered. And again, go back to my podcast and check out the star model that I created. So the 7 ways, and this is not an exhaustive list, 7 ways I've seen defensiveness in myself and other people. And I'm privileged to do the work that I do, coaching leaders and teams. So I get to see these things in the wild sometimes. And so I've cataloged some of these and want to share them with you. So if you see yourself in these, great. If you see other people in these, great. We'll talk about what to do with them soon. So the first one. So when someone brings us feedback and we get defensive, we might be prone to deny or lie. Right? So it's something like, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. We all know that one very well. we could trace this back to being a kid, right? Because we were going to get in trouble. Who wants to get in trouble? So we're trying to protect ourselves from the wrath of a parent or whatever by denying it. And lying is a little bit different, where sometimes a second party will come to you and say, hey, I heard that you did this, and or what's up, you know, what's up with that? And you say, that wasn't me. It could be something like, hey, what did you use the money for in that budget? Oh, I bought new computers, you know, when you bought something else, right? Lying helps to protect us from negative judgment, from potential consequences. And so it just tends to happen. We don't reflect on it. And it may be something like a white lie. We all know what a white lie is. Try to shield other people from bad news or protect ourselves from the wrath, whatever that looks like. Second way is deflection or rebuttal. And that sounds like, well, you do it too, or someone else is doing it too, right? So it's not just me, it's other people. So we deflect the blame, deflect the criticism, deflect the feedback onto other people. So we play the blame game. Again, it's a hot potato. We can't just sit with it, so we have to push the blame off on someone else as well to be less culpable. Third way is dismissal. Just dismissing it, the feedback. That's not a big deal. Or anyway, you know, trying to change the subject. Fourth way is rationalizing or justifying. I did it because. That's the hallmark of that one. Let me tell you why I did it. Fifth way is becoming a victim. It's not my fault. Something else made me do it. What did you expect me to do? Placation. I'm sorry, it won't happen again. And that's used to just push people away and take the heat off. And it's not really a genuine apology. And the last one I've seen is what we call over-explaining. So you bring feedback to someone and they go off on a rant, digressions, tidal eddies, just over-justify this thing, over-explain, and soon you're lost in confusion and you don't even know where you are. So those are seven ways that I've seen defensiveness manifest in myself and others. And so again, be onto this in yourself. If you find yourself in one of these seven lands, take stock. I mean, none of us are perfect, right? And yet, I think we would all agree that we all want to get better. And that one way, one premier way to get better is through the eyes of others, through the feedback of others. That way we become more whole. We become more of a creative force. We don't leave anything on the table. We take in other people's feedback so we can evolve, so we can grow, get better, continuously improve. I think most people listening want to improve, but yet they feel attacked. They feel defensive. You know, they feel like they don't have the thick skin to deal with the feedback. And so we need to figure that out. We need to reconcile the desire to get better with our propensity to get defensive. So, how do we do that? Again, 7 points. So the first one is start with the heart. I like this. I got this from a book called Crucial Conversations, and I love that phrase, start with the heart. Remember, you always want to be connected to other people. That's true. Nobody wakes up saying, oh, I can't wait to frustrate someone, or I can't wait to be disconnected. You know, you might wake up grumpy and then, you know, have negative intentions. I get that. But overall, by and large, we want to be connected to our colleagues, to our kids, to our spouse, to our boss, to our company. We all want to be connected. And so we want to start with that as the major premise. Start with your heart. Start with that outcome in mind to be as connected as possible with this other human being. The second point is to value feedback. Start telling yourself that feedback is not the enemy. Feedback is your ally. It's your friend. And even though it feels uncomfortable to get it, it doesn't mean it's not worth something. In fact, it's the opposite. Because it's uncomfortable, it means you're on your edge of something, some breakthrough, some change in the relationship, some behavior change. So start to value it first and foremost. Number three, actively solicit it. Ask for it. I ask my wife, I ask my daughter, I ask my clients, how can I get better? Please tell me. I ask my students. A lot of times I get appreciative feedback, and I love that. You know, like I said, it was my birthday. I got a ton of great appreciation from my daughter and wife saying that I'm a husband and a great dad, and it really felt good. And so we need appreciative feedback, of course. We can't just go around giving constructive feedback. That's not a relationship. We need to balance it. But we need to also actively solicit it. We need to ask people. I'm working with a manager right now, and I said, you know, when was the last time you asked your people for feedback? And he couldn't remember. And I said, that's problematic. So let me give you some feedback about that. And, you know, he's able to take it in. And his task this week before our next call is to at least ask one person, hey, how am I doing? Is there something I can be doing to help you or the team out better? Because a lot of people have feedback, but they don't feel comfortable bringing it to you, especially if you're a defensive person. So you get to soften, right? So actively solicit it. Value it. Start with the heart. Those are the first 3 points. Number four is when it comes your way, take a deep breath. Take a bunch of deep breaths. Open your ears. Open your ears with all your might, right? So you can take it in. The feedback doesn't have to fit, but just take it in. And don't fall prey to one of the 7 manifestations of defensiveness that I talked about earlier. If you find yourself denying it, you know, a rebuttal, or rationalizing why you've done something, you're not in that space of receptivity. And that's what we need to do. So we need to take a deep breath, calm our nervous system. Just remember, this is the person's perspective of you. It doesn't necessarily make it true. If it is, though, we can take it in, right? And we might be able to learn something and find a gem. And that's the 5th part, is feedback may fit, it may not fit, or it might fit a little bit. So the feedback my wife gave me about parenting fit. Definitely. I was like, I can see that. And I can see my motivation for that. So I'm going to work on that. You know, I'm going to work on the words I say. And I'm going to work on checking in with her to make sure that we are lock, stock, and barrel together. So we are aligned as parents as much as possible. And so if the feedback doesn't fit, you can ask more questions. You can then rebut, but not in a defensive way. You know, you put it all on the table and the person might have an erroneous perspective of you. And that's fine. Doesn't mean it's true. But, and it may be. So we don't want to lose that precious gem, that nugget to help us grow and evolve. The next point, number 5, is it's behavior, not you. So when people give you feedback, it's focused on a behavior that you're doing, and not your personhood. And that gets commingled sometimes, right? We talked about taking things personally. Your negative self-identity is at stake. Like I said, a lot of us deal with not feeling good enough, thinking we're good or worthy or lovable sometimes. And when we get triggered, we take it personally. We think that they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater and thinking we're not great, when in fact, they're just talking about a behavior. So when my wife gave me that feedback, I was able to take it as a parenting behavior and not my personhood. And so we've got to figure that one out. We need to focus on that concept that, okay, it's behavior, not character. It's behavior, not personhood. And the last point is, if the feedback is not clear, you can ask for specificity. So you can ask for examples. You know, if someone comes to you with vague language or superlatives or judgmental language, like you always do this, you're a jerk, something like that, that's not a great way to frame feedback, of course. So go back and listen to my podcast about feedback delivery, because there is a model, there's a spirit of it. And yet, if someone is vague or unclear or judgmental, you can calm the situation, breathe, and just ask for specificity. Validate the other person. Sounds like you're really frustrated with one of my behaviors. Could you, you know, give me an example of how that manifested recently so we can talk it through? And again, you get to drive the train on this because you value it, right? So those are some points to help you get out of defensive mode. And if you are dealing with someone defensive, again, the process is similar. You start with the heart. You realize that, you know, you're going to do your best to frame this thing. Some people, for instance, have a manifestation of what I call the know-it-all. They don't take feedback very well. They over-explain and rationalize and justify why they do things. And so you can give feedback about that, or you can arm yourself with facts, you know, case studies or best practices, and bring it to them and ask their opinion about it and start to get into a conversation. So it takes a little bit more time to deal with someone that is very, very highly defensive. And I'm doing that right now in my work, dealing with someone that's very defensive. And it's really a challenge. And I've done a lot of research about how to deal with a know-it-all, how to deal with someone that is not really open to feedback, but says they are. And so I am kind of coming in the back door instead of busting down the front door and building relationship with this person, talking about best practices in management, and really just starting a conversation, validating, upholding this person's strengths, building them up a little bit, and finding my way into some of the cracks in the armor. And that's a high skill that I'm really engaged in right now to kind of try to win this guy over and really help instill this value of feedback as a tool and that you don't need to defend yourself, really. In fact, by defending yourself, you're keeping yourself small. You're keeping yourself stuck. And that's not what this person's boss wants, is to keep this person stuck. In fact, it's an imperative that this person gets on with it. So that's it in a nutshell. Again, talked about a few ways, possible ways that defensiveness is here. It's alive and well in us, our pesky little friend, our pesky little companion. Talked about 7 ways that it manifests. And then talked about a process to become less defensive. And so take those to the bank, reflect on them, you know, send me a comment, send me an email. I want to hear about defensiveness. I want to hear about your journey into this. How do you grow thicker skin? It's a great question. Well, I've just given you a process. You know, it's not you, it's the behavior. Take deep breaths. Just relax, lean into the discomfort. Right? It doesn't mean you're a messed up person. It just means one of your behaviors is adversely impacting someone else. So I want to hear about your journey. I want to hear a story about you being able to be less defensive and understanding why you feel attacked and why you become defensive. You know, again, if someone is attacking you, it might not be the right time to engage with that person. You might have to say, hey, time out. You know, if you can't conjure up the calming skills needed to bring someone to a level playing field, then you may need to walk away from a situation and then reconvene. So we need to have rules of engagement, ground rules, if you will, when we're going to engage in feedback with someone. So go back and listen to my podcast on feedback, on meeting facilitation, on triggers. I think you'll like it and you'll find some value from it. So that's it in a nutshell. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, peace. Thanks so much for tuning into The Focus Coach. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Click subscribe, comment on the post, and share it as well. Also, go to www.workplaceculturesolutions.com/tools to get your free downloads and worksheets. And as always, peace.